Tomorrow, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld is expected to release details about the procedures for military tribunals to try suspected terrorists. NPR has learned that under the rules, defendants would enjoy many of the same rights a defendant in a court-martial would have, but would also face some significant disadvantages. Last November, President Bush issued an executive order authorizing the creation of these tribunals. At the time, civil libertarians criticized the order, saying that they could be kangaroo courts held in secret with limited appeals. Now, commentator Chip Pitts is worried about more than civil liberties.
Have the specifics of the administration's military tribunals order removed all grounds for concern? In a word, no. The new due process protections bring the military tribunals closer to basic norms of fairness, but they blur so many important considerations, like the separation of powers, that they remain a bad idea. The decision to use military tribunals followed the logic of a war on terrorism, as opposed to treating the 9/11 attacks as crimes requiring civilian justice. But in accepting the terrorists' own confused self-description as holy warriors, this made what was clear ambiguous, like a spreading fog. We're now living in an unsettling and indeterminate purgatory between peacetime and wartime. The Taliban are lumped together with al-Qaeda at Guantanamo Bay. Though we've said it's a war, we're denying the other side prisoner of war status. Aliens have been previously protected by Supreme Court cases because of their special vulnerability. Although it's not commonly appreciated, this same order creating military tribunals allows indefinite detention of even lawful U.S. resident aliens, which may in practice be merely because they have suspect associations, look different, or because they're Muslims or Arabs. Such indefinite detention without trial is a violation of basic fairness and legal norms even more serious than military tribunals. The role of the executive is also blurred with that of Congress and the judiciary when the executive branch makes the military tribunal law, prosecutes the cases, and then allows appeals not to the normal federal courts, but only to a panel appointed by the president who decided to bring the case in the first place. This remains the situation with the new and improved military tribunals, since vague definitions of terrorism are still combined with almost unlimited executive discretion regarding whom to prosecute. Simply put, the military tribunals confuse force and law. Soldiers are good at killing the enemy. They can't simultaneously be expected to impartially judge the enemy. The U.S. has consistently objected to such use of military tribunals by other nations, so we shouldn't be surprised when our allies, both in Europe and the Muslim world, now accuse us of hypocrisy on this point. But we should be concerned when this threatens not only our ability to offer moral leadership, but also the international cooperation we need to extradite terrorists, close links in the chain of evidence, and prevent future terrorist acts. So why not stick with what works? Checks and balances, respect for the rule of law, a truly independent judiciary. Not bad ideas.
Chip Pitts is an attorney and an international businessman based in Dallas.